All right, folks, good morning to you. Nice to see you here today. We're glad that you have joined us. You know, I was standing there while they were after communion and they were passing the for the offering, and it was so funny. I won't tell you who it was, but somebody started to put their money in the basket with the communion cups. So I'm going to have to ask, I wonder how much money we've gotten stained with grape juice lately. You have to pay a little bit more attention, don't you, now, when that comes around. But that really helps the folks here clean up in between services. So I thought that was a really good idea to start passing that. Hey, I'm glad that you're here today. I've been so excited all week about sharing this message with you. I want to start by telling you, though, I was talking to an older gentleman in the church. It's been some time back. And during the conversation, I just kind of on the side actually asked him, you know, have you lived here your whole life? And his answer was really quite insightful and quite telling, because I said, have you lived here your whole life? And his answer was, not yet. And I thought that was pretty good. You know, because most of the time I've lived here. No, I started, you know, but we don't think about that, you know, hopefully our life isn't over yet. Have you lived here your whole life? Well, not yet. I got some living yet to do. And I thought that was a pretty good answer to give. So today I want to encourage you with this final message in blessed, broken, and giving to think about the life you have yet to live. Because if you've been with us over the last few weeks, you'll know that we've been looking at these three different instances in the Gospel of Luke. And it's kind of amazing when you think about it that Luke, the writer of the Gospel, really made it a point to quote Jesus in these three different areas, these three different times where it talks about him having bread. And we talked about a couple of weeks ago how our life is like bread in the hands of Jesus. Bread is about as ordinary as you get, but given to Jesus, it can become something extraordinary. How Jesus, it says three times in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. We started out in the with the parable of the feeding of the 5,000. When the disciples said, hey, Jesus, it's time to send these people away. We don't have enough food for them. And Jesus said, tell them to sit down. And Jesus took an ordinary lunch donated by a fine young man. And it says that he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it. You know, last week we talked about brokenness. Alex did a good job with that. And, you know, we talk about God's blessing and how we are blessed simply because God made us in His image, breathed life within us. Last week, we looked at the second part of Luke where it says that on the night that He was betrayed in the upper room, it said Jesus took bread and He blessed it and He broke it and He gave it. And that brokenness, Jesus was talking about what was going to happen to Him. And how we are broken, but yet we are restored through the grace and mercy of Jesus. You know, what do we do with broken things? Well, if you're like me, if you have something broken, you put it in the garage, hoping that someday you can find the parts you need or someone who can restore it. But then finally you get to the point that what do? You discard broken things. You know, a lot of you feel like that you exist on the island of misfit toys. But Jesus does something wonderful with that brokenness. And today we're going to finish this up by talking about this third part and this third section of Scripture in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus really gives us an understanding of what it means when He says, given, blessed, broken, and given. But here's the thing, folks. Here's where I want to start. So many times we think that our value is tied to our purpose. In other words, we think that our value is derived from how good we are, how great we are, what we can do. That our value is derived from from how somebody loves us and cares for us. But it's so much more than that. Well, let me give you an illustration to help you with this as we get into this passage in Luke 24. We'll look at that in just a minute. My daughter, Kristen, by the way, her and her husband, Nathan, they're coming home. They've been in London, England, Great Britain, for 3.5 years. And he got his degree, his PhD. He's a smarty pants now. And they're coming home for good. A week from this Tuesday, they're coming home. Kristen, she sent me an interesting message the other day. She sent me the details of her flight. And she said, Dad, if you can't come and get us, because they're going to live with us for a while, if you can't come and get us, it's okay. We'll rent a car and come home to Altoona. And I wrote her back, and I'm like, rent a car? What are you talking about? I will be there. Your mother will be there. Matter of fact, I'm going to make a sign, and I'm going to look like a chauffeur. I'm going to have a hat on, and I'm going to have a sign, and it's going to say Dr. and Mrs. Shedd. And I'm just going to stand there and let everybody think that I'm there to pick somebody up that's really, really important. Okay? And are you kidding me? Going to be there? Of course I'm going to be there. You see, sometimes we get messed up with thinking that our value is tied to something more than God's love and affection and grace and mercy for us. And I think when Jesus does these miracles, when he has this encounter with bread, and he teaches us how important it is that we're blessed, how appropriate it is that we're broken, but then how tremendous it is that he gives us. Our purpose is not connected to value. If you are just an ordinary Christian, is there really anything to give from your life? And what Jesus is going to teach us today is yes. So let's jump in the Word here. Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 30. This is a really interesting passage because you'll be familiar with this. This is when Jesus, he's been resurrected, and he appears to these two disciples who are walking on the road between Jerusalem and Emmaus. And Jesus comes into the midst of these two disciples that are walking, and they're talking about Jesus, about his death, his burial, and about his resurrection. And they're so confused, but here's the thing. They don't recognize who Jesus is. And look, here's what it says. They invite him into their home, and then that's where the story picks up here with what I have written for you. It says, as they sat down to eat, he, meaning Jesus, he took bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it. And then he gave it to them. Now, listen, I think this is so interesting that the writer of Luke uses this word, uses these phrases over and over and over again. It's the same thing he said in the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus took bread, he broke it, he blessed it, and he gave it. Jesus with the disciples in the upper room and the institution of the Lord's Supper, he took bread, he broke it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body, this is my blood shed for you. And it's the same wording here that Jesus has with these two disciples on the road. And look at what it says. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. Now, take just a moment and unpack this verse by verse and notice what he says here. He says that they sat down to eat, and Jesus took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. Now, here's the interesting thing about that, I think. They invited Jesus to their home. It was not Jesus' place to bless it, break it, and give it. But like us so many times, they were caught up in questions. They were caught up in fear and anxiety and disillusionment. They were caught up in all these things about their life, what was going on, what wasn't happening, what was happening, that they didn't realize who he was. So Jesus stepped in As he did so many times, he stepped in and did really what they should have done for him. And it was at that moment, it says, that suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They didn't notice that when he came alongside them on the road. They didn't realize that when he taught them from the scriptures about Jesus and about his death, burial, and resurrection. It wasn't until they were seated at the table with him. And he blessed the bread, he broke it, and he gave it to them. And it says their eyes were open. Listen, do you desire your eyes to be open? Do you desire to see and to understand whose presence you're in? Then commune with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we commune with him, our eyes are open. I can't tell you how many times in my life that I've just had breakthrough after breakthrough when you're really communing with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he's in your presence, when you're listening to him, when he shares with you, it says that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then it says this, look at this. I think this is so cool. And at that moment, he disappeared. Isn't that amazing? Where'd he go? He disappeared. Where'd he go? Why did he go? I think it's simply because he had achieved what he came into their presence to do. And that was to show them that knowing that he is there is what we really need to understand. It was at that moment, in other words, something turned on, a light came on, an epiphany happened. The Spirit broke through into their lives when they broke bread with Jesus. Now to me, I read into that. So you know what? It's great that you're walking with the Lord. It's great that you're listening to Him. But what we need more than anything else is a deep communion with the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be changed, so that we can recognize. Now, he disappeared physically, but his spirit was still so very much with them. And then they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us? In other words, what Jesus said to them now helped them to understand what he said to them then. Their communion with Jesus now allowed a revelation about what he said to them before. So beautiful. And then here's where it ends, and I love this. We're going to spend a little bit of time on this. And then it says, within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. Now let me ask you something. When you go on a journey, when you arrive at your destination, what's foremost in your mind? Going back? I mean, think about it. They said within the hour, they were headed back to Jerusalem. Why? Because they realized that not only was it a rumor that Jesus was alive, but they had seen him, they had heard him, they had broken bread with him. He had blessed them. He had given it to them. And he said that you need to take this, blessed, broken, and given. Their going back to Jerusalem was their way of responding and giving back to Jesus, blessed, broken, and given. This is a moment of mission. This is a moment in time when they are understanding what the rest of their life is going to be about. How long? You lived here your whole life? Not yet. This was the moment in time when they realized that they had work to do, that they had a mission to accomplish, that Jesus Christ had commissioned them to take the gospel. This is Jesus blessing bread to open the eyes of people, to open the eyes of people that are disillusioned and downcast. And in a way, matter of fact, in a really big way, this is a story that shows that being blessed, broken, and given is for the sake of the world, not just for ourselves, not just for the church, but for the entire human race. Now think about this, because I think it's really key. What does it mean to be given? What does it mean to be given? Because I think in understanding what he's talking about here, it leads to some highlights in your life and mine. In other words, I think part of it is just wrapped up in this understanding that we are sent out, or that we are spent out of the love for Jesus Christ. I mean, when you talk about what it means to be given, it really is wound up into understanding what God has done for us in the person of Jesus Christ, and what our response to that love looks like. Now let me give you an example of this from the Bible. It's from the life of the Apostle Peter. If you think about the Apostle Peter, Jesus appeared to him and he said, "Come follow me," and what? "And I'll make you fishers of men." Now, if you study the life of Peter, you know, Peter was this, you know, he was impetuous, and he was he just always sticking his foot in his mouth. You know, he denied Jesus 3 times. You know, Jesus said, "I want to wash your feet." And Peter, you know, he didn't understand that. He struggled so much with that. But did you know that after Jesus Christ was dead and buried and resurrected, that Peter went back to fishing? The Bible is very plain that Peter went back to fishing. That Peter actually needed a recommissioning from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what John 21 is about. Because John 21 is all about Jesus coming to Peter and saying to him, "Listen, I'm not through with you, Peter. I've got more in store for you." And this is the instance, if you look at John 21, it's when Jesus comes to Peter and he says to him, he says, "Peter, do you love me?" Now listen, that is so key. He said, "Do you love me?" Not do you love feeding people the word of God. Not do you love being a shepherd in the kingdom of God. Not do you love food or his teaching. None of that. Not even do you love yourself. Do you love purpose and mission? The question was simply, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter's reply was, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And time again, Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" And he said, how did he respond? "Yes, of course I love you, Jesus." And Peter said, then feed my sheep. You see, here Jesus is giving Peter this time of recommissioning. Jesus has said to Peter early on, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And you might say that was the first call and it was about a purpose. But in essence here, Jesus is saying, "I want you to be close to me. Peter, I'll lift you up from a life that is going nowhere. I'll sweep you up with the greatest story of all. I'll give you a role in the kingdom of God arriving on earth as it is in heaven. Peter, do you love me?" Blessed, broken, and given. Peter needed to understand that he needed to spend the rest of his life sharing this good news with other people. And he did. So much so that if you read, you know, the history and the background of Peter, most people say that he actually was martyred for his faith later on, and actually was crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to hang on a cross like Jesus did. If Peter's first call was about purpose, his second call, this renewal of his destiny and identity, was about a person. Do you love Jesus? Do we love Jesus above all else? Certainly lesser loves may lead us to begin following Jesus or enter into some kind of vocational ministry, but these can't sustain the kind of relationship that Jesus wants to have for us. Only a deep and abiding love for Jesus can do that. That's why these guys' eyes were open when they were communing with the Lord. That's when they saw. That's when the moment happened. That's when the lights went on. And that's when they realized what the rest of their life was to be used for. You see, folks, we surrender out of love for Him. And when we surrender, we find ourselves not needing to beg any longer. Our surrender makes us bread in the hands of Jesus. And He sends us. And we spend the rest of our life sharing that bread with others. You know, some years ago, my daughter Kristen and I, we were in Ethiopia. Serving in a mission field there for a couple of months one summer. And my daughter, she's so good at learning language and things like that. And I really depended on her there because, you know, the language was so foreign to me. And one day she sent me out onto the street in front of where we were living to visit one of the souks. That's what they called them. And a souk was a little store. And there's always a store there that sold some kind of vegetables, some kind of meat, and bread. And Kristen sent me out one day to get some bread. And we really did, like the Bible says, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. You would go out and buy the bread for the day. And Kristen, she told me to go out there, and I can't remember what it was now, but she told me what to say. It was the word for bread, and that we wanted a half of a loaf, and I was to do this. And she gave me the exact amount of money that I needed. I went out there, and very faithfully, I said, I want half of whatever the word was, and she gave me, and I handed out the money, and this little lady, she just went berserk, and I'm like, oh my goodness, why is she, you know, she's like, and I'm like, I did it again, you know, and something was wrong, and what was wrong was that the price of bread had gone up that morning, and I didn't have enough money, and I didn't know it, and so finally, she took half of the bread that she had given me, took most of my money and sent me on my way. And I didn't find out till later. You know, communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ is so difficult. But here's the thing, folks. It's impossible to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ with a life that is less than totally dedicated to Him. You see, these disciples, they understood now what the rest of their life was to be about. To be given is to live for the life of the world. To share with other people. Listen, folks, He sends us, He spends us because of His love for us into the world. And the sending is sweeter than you could ever dream or imagine. When you understand what Jesus Christ has done for you. So think about this. These two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're not among the 12, but they're part of the many. They hung their head in tears. They were unable to quench the fires of their disappointment. And they turned on each other, arguing and debating about the Messiah and what was happening right there in front of them. And all of a sudden, Jesus Himself, it says in Luke 24:15, arrived and joined them on their journey. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ wants to do with all of us. And as he goes on this journey with us, He wants us to understand that we are blessed, that we are broken and restored. And then He's given us this wonderful commission to be given. And just like the feeding of the 5,000, when Jesus blessed and broke and asked the disciples to distribute, the same is said to us here as we give of this message to other people. You see, Jesus pointed to Himself as the culmination of this wonderful story of God's salvation. And that's what Jesus wants to say to me and you as we are on this journey today. That He wants us to know that He will join us and be a part of the rest of our life. Now, here's something that's really interesting, I think, about this passage of Scripture. And I heard this term this week. and I thought it was really interesting, how these guys practiced what I want to call radical hospitality. How do you give? In other words, Jesus is given to you. So how do you give? Well, let's learn that from these men, because what happened was, through radical hospitality, they learned a tremendous lesson from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I need to learn this lesson as well. Jesus accepted their offer. And here the stranger did something even stranger. Jesus, the guest, started acting like the host. Notice, when they sat at the table, what does it say? It says Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. You know, it's interesting, because being a pastor, a lot of times, you know, I'll be in the presence of other people, and a lot of times they'll say, you know, Pastor John, would you pray? I always felt like that was just asking me for a little bit of crowd control. You know, you're the preacher, you pray. But have you ever been in a situation where you're in somebody's home, or you're out in a restaurant with somebody, and the meal comes, and you're not the host, so you just kind of sit there? You know, who are they going to ask to pray? It's not my place. You know, Arlene and I were with her mom and dad on Friday, and, you know, we sat down and we had a meal, and we were in their apartment, and, you know, I sat there, and I waited. Finally, Arlene's dad said, you know, John, would you pray? I said, well, I'd be happy to. But it wasn't my place. It wasn't Jesus' place. But Jesus, he stepped out and he did this. You know, that may mean nothing to us, which, when we really don't have these kind of protocols so much in our culture today. But in Jewish culture, the host always said the blessing. The guest never did. Yet here was the stranger, talking about the scriptures, teaching about himself, acting as if the table and the meal were his to bless. And Luke recorded this in a very deliberate way, using the same sequence that he used in the feeding of the 5,000, in the upper room, in the communion with his disciples. He uses the same wording here, and Jesus steps in and he said the blessing. And he distributed the bread. And he taught them such a beautiful and valuable lesson. Folks, listen, I think what we need to realize here is that we can use radical hospitality to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I remember a couple years ago, Arlene and I, we had a neighbor, and nice young man, and he had a girlfriend, and we had said to them, you know, we'd like to have you over sometime for dinner. And they said, oh, we'd love to do that. And so one day we actually said, hey, how about, you know, Thursday evening, can you come over? And they said, yes, we can come over. And so Thursday came, and we had made a real nice dinner, and I'd cooked some steaks on the grill. And I saw the neighbor out in the yard, and I hollered over at him and said, hey, what, you guys can come over anytime you want to. We're ready to eat. And they'd forgotten about it. Okay, and then his girlfriend came up, and I said, hey, remember, you guys are going to eat with us tonight? And they're like, well, okay. And so they came over, and I'll never forget it, because it was the first time. That wouldn't be now, because they're very good friends. But they came into our home, and they sat at our table, and you could tell they were just like, okay, how do we do this? You know, this guy's a preacher, and they've been around Arlene enough to know, you know, her personality. And I remember they were just kind of sitting there, and you could tell they were just waiting on me. But here's the thing, folks. Through radical hospitality, I can introduce the love of Jesus to them. I can set the tone, not only blessing the food, but blessing them and allowing them to see what a dynamic and real relationship with Jesus Christ can bring. Can be. We can take the bread. We can bless it. We can break it. We can give it. We ourselves can become the bread that is blessed, the bread that is broken, and the bread that is given for their life in any and everything. But folks, this is the kind of cycle of giving. Because I believe with all my heart that giving brings more giving. The giving of Jesus generates a desire for us to give as well. And here's the thing about it, folks. What describes your life more? Somebody that gets or somebody that gives? It's so easy to be a getter, isn't it? It's so easy to be a consumer, to be a spender, you know, to enjoy all these different things. But how about being a giver? You know, a young lady at last service, she won a $50 gift card at the raffle at the spaghetti dinner last week at the Altoona Restoration Church of God. She won a $50 gift certificate, and the pastor gave it to me this morning and asked me to give it to her, and I did. And I said to her, because it was a $50 gift card to Texas Roadhouse, and I said, I'll meet you there at 1:15. Right? It's so easy to get, isn't it? But you see, this is the part of the story when Jesus tells us that we need to give. That at the heart of the gospel is grace. And it is a grace that provokes giving. Because God is so gracious, He gives good gifts, even to those who don't deserve it. And those who receive God's good gifts are to return them upward in praise and outward in service to Him. Grace follows this pattern of reciprocal giving that is so uncommon today. So I ask us, and I challenge us, to make sure that we are givers. Think about it. The disciples are on the road, and Jesus joins them. And they don't realize who He is until He blesses and breaks and gives bread to them. And then it says that they were so moved at that moment. What was the first thing that they did? Within the hour, they're on their way back to Jerusalem. Why? Because they have to give what Jesus had given to them. So, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, will you offer yourselves to Him today? Will you let Jesus send you into a world as the Father sent Him? Will you ask Him to give you for the life of the world? Have you lived here your whole life? Not yet. Well, let's don't waste the rest of the time that Jesus has given to us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, we thank You for not only a good day, Lord, but we thank You for this beautiful, beautiful lesson that You teach over and over in this gospel story, Lord. Blessed, broken, and given. God, we know we have the blessing. God, we've experienced so much brokenness and disappointment in life. But Lord, may we dedicate the rest of our days, however long that might be, to sharing, Lord, that it's in a personal, dynamic relationship with You. It's in communion with You, Lord, that we find our purpose and meaning for the rest of our lives. God, I pray that we'll spend whatever time You have for us in the future using radical hospitality, Lord, to show the world around us Your love and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.